We greet you in the holy name of Jesus, the Christ. You are listening to the Words of Life program. We are brought to you by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers who want to tell you about Jesus. Our speaker is Brother David Johnson, the minister of the Sellersburg, Indiana Church of Christ. His sermon topic for today is To God's Elect, based upon the first two words of the book of 1 Peter. We now worship our Lord with song.
Let the praises give Jehovah, for his name.
Please pause and pray with me. Heavenly Father, as we talk to you in the name of Jesus, we share our thanksgiving for life and the promised life to come in Jesus. Please use this program to accomplish your will. Also be with each one who shares your gospel. Give your protection and effectiveness as they work for you. There's lots of illness throughout our world at this time. Please bless all who are struggling with health issues. And when you have finished with us here upon this earth, take us home to be with you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Brother David Johnson will now present a sermon entitled, To God's Elect.
Thank you for listening to this Words of Life broadcast as we look into the Word of God. The title for the lesson is, To God's Elect. And our text, our theme text, is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Please listen to the Word of God. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by His blood, grace and peace be yours in abundance. This is the Word of God. May He add His blessing to the public reading of His Word. The first epistle, or letter, of Peter is an important study because its primary purpose was and is to offer encouragement to suffering Christians. We have gone through unprecedented worldwide trouble and suffering for masses of people in our day. The original recipients of Peter's epistle or letter were the Jewish Christians driven out of Jerusalem, where the church began. And many were scattered throughout Asia Minor, which are, in our text, ancient names referring to Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, which is also today the modern nation of Turkey. The date of the writing of this letter from Peter is, according to biblical scholars, about the year of our Lord 62 through 64. That is, in the first century AD, of course. The setting was when probably Peter was in Rome and the Christians were under great persecution under the cruel Roman Emperor Nero. In some places of the extensive Roman Empire, Christians were being tortured and killed for their allegiance to Jesus Christ. Therefore, the mother church in Jerusalem was being scattered abroad. Peter, who himself was executed for his faith, had been instructed by Jesus, his Lord, to take care of Christ's church as a shepherd caring for his sheep, as according to the Gospel of John, chapter 21, verses 15 through 17. So we have this epistle for encouragement, to which we can learn its original meaning and make application today as Christians dealing not only with persecution, but with sufferings of all kinds to which none of us are immune. We today certainly can become overwhelmed, even devastated by suffering that can challenge our faith and attack our hope. Suffering has many forms: disease, mental anguish, financial chaos, poor family relationships, and spiritual defeat. Many a Christian is tempted to turn back to the world, to give in, to give up on the faith. In the first century AD, under the diabolical Emperor Nero, he determined to rid the empire of the, quote, Christ ones, end quote, those who would not bow down to the emperor. It was Caesar, the title of the early Roman emperors, that all were to honor and pay homage to, not Christ. It was the empire, not God's kingdom. So, the apostle sent a general letter to the scattered suffering Christians to comfort them and admonish them to remain in the faith. He began his letter by thanking God for the magnificent salvation in Christ Jesus that we receive by His grace. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Notice, addressing Christians, Peter wrote, to God's elect. Well, what exactly does this mean? The Bible answers this in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. Who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by His blood. We should accept that the teaching of God's election is clearly evident in the Scriptures. It is one of the deep things of God. However, we should reject both extremes regarding God's election of people for salvation as God's elect. That is, on the one hand, avoiding explanations that nullify what the Bible clearly reveals as election, and on the other extreme, explanations that would reduce it all to fatalism. Obviously, from the whole counsel of God, there is nothing in the teachings of election, foreknowledge, or predestination that releases any accountable person from his or her own responsibility and accountability toward God. Fatalism here means that God has alone already predetermined who is saved, who is not, and nothing we can do can ever change that. This is a false belief. Above all, we must reject that God has ever predestined anyone to be lost without hope. Referring to God's primary will, consider 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, which says, "Who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth." Not that all will be saved, but only due to man's free will rejection of God. unbelieving, unrepentant persons cause their own eternal separation from God in hell, and God will enforce their choice. God's sovereignty and man's free will are both true. God voluntarily gives men free will, which does not detract from His sovereignty one iota. Brother R.H. Bowl writes these words, quote, "We can be assured of this, that there is no unrighteousness with God, and on our part, we are never to regard any man as non-elect unless he has finally renounced the Lord. Nor may Christ's elect presume on their election, but are admonished to make their calling and election sure. In fact, election carries its own special responsibility with it. These elect ones, who were sojourners of the dispersion, were elect unto obedience. It behooves them, therefore, to work out their salvation, so freely received, with fear and trembling, seeing it is God that worketh in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure." Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. Brother Bowl using the American Standard Version, 1901. Nevertheless, there is election. From among the many, God chooses out for Himself some whom He blesses in a special way. Never for their own sake alone, but always that they in turn may become a blessing to the many. Their election is according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Peter alone uses this term, and he only uses it twice. The first time in his sermon on Pentecost, when he told his hearers that Jesus of Nazareth was delivered up by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, Acts chapter 2 and verse 23. This does not mean merely that God knew before what was going to happen, but in this case it means that God had afore purposed it. They were elect unto obedience. That is, God chose them in order that they might obey. The election is God's, the obedience is man's response. Also, they were elect unto the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, a word full of meaning to the Jew. There was the historic event of the Passover, kept perpetually before their minds by its annual celebration, when the salvation of the firstborn and the deliverance of all the people from Egyptian bondage was effected through the sprinkling of blood. There was the great day of atonement, Leviticus chapter 16, when the high priest entered within the veil and sprinkled atoning blood before the mercy seat. And now, in the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, all the meaning of the Old Testament blood sprinkling, the cleansing, redemption, deliverance, remission of sin, finds the full fulfillment. End of quote. From Brother R.H. Bowl. So, as God's elect, we are strangers or aliens, sojourners in the world. The original Greek word can mean those who are temporary residents, or even foreigners or refugees in this world, just passing through. Much depends on how we consider ourselves in relation to this world system. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. It must be God's grace first, before peace can come with God through saving faith. Consider this illustration. Reportedly, many years ago, the Coca-Cola Company was working on a vending machine that would automatically increase the price of a soft drink when the temperature rises. A Coca-Cola executive indicated that the machine was designed to reconcile supply and demand by raising the price when demand increased. After a storm of protest, Coca-Cola backtracked, saying, Quote, the Coca-Cola company is not introducing vending machines that will raise the price of soft drinks in hot weather. Instead, the company is exploring innovative technology and communications systems that can actually improve product availability, promotional activity, and even offer consumers an interactive experience when they purchase a soft drink from a vending machine. End quote. Sounds suspicious to me. But isn't it refreshing in a world of deceitful double talk that God reveals His salvation purpose plainly? That God doesn't change with the weather, nor is there innovation of His salvation which He so desires, and that He Himself initiates and offers His salvation free of charge to us. So, let us not let words like elect and foreknowledge on God's side concern us. He knows exactly what He is doing. We need not understand it all. It's all part of God's wonderful grace, unfathomable grace, first and foremost, which He fully supplies. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Things are always, that is, always go better with God. Grace is the real thing. We should all exercise our free will choice to join in God's elect through saving faith. So, dear listener, are you today in Christ Jesus for obedience to Him, in saving faith, having repented of your sin, confessing Him, not afraid to confess Him before men, being immersed, baptized into Christ Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins? Are you persevering in the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord?
I am certain that God has blessed you as you have listened today. We pray that you are a born-again believer in Jesus. To become a Christian, we must first fully believe in Jesus. The book of Acts shows us that believers are also to repent of sin, confess Jesus as Savior, and be baptized by immersion. If we can help you in your decision for Christ, or if you'd like to have a free CD of this program, please write to us and ask for program number 2105. That's 2105. And thank you for listening today. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life. Sing them all.